That sound good.
All right. We get started. Turn with me to Romans, the seventh chapter. Romans, the seventh chapter. Tonight, we're going to start dealing with the will. And the will is the strongest aspect of the mind. The will is what causes us to make decisions. The will reads all the other aspects of our mind, our emotions, imagination. It pulls from all those things to make a decision. So the will is what makes the decision. It is the strongest part of the human soul. It has final authority over what will happen in the human body, soul, and spirit. So the soul, the will, if not properly used, will override your spirit. The will is the gatekeeper of the spirit, soul, and body. Watch now, listen to this. It has the power to control what will or will not come in and out of your spirit. It will control that. So, if you don't do nothing else, you better have your will in check. If you don't have your will in check, it's going to control you. It's going to run you. In Romans, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Apostle Paul writing, "But I am carnal, sold under sin," making reference to Adam and Eve. Verse 15. Now, this is the scripture that everybody reads and it kind of throws them off and they get confused. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." Wow. "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." That whole passage is talking about the will. If you don't have your will in check, listen a minute. If you don't have your will in check, first of all, your will, as we said, is the most powerful, strongest aspect of your mind. It gets information from all the other aspects, your emotions, memory, your imagination. Your will gets information from all of those to make a decision. Once a decision is made, your body is going to follow. So now it brings into question, if I do not allow the Word of God to affect all the aspects of my mind, it is inevitable that my will, listen to me, that my will not make the right decision. If I do not let the word of God, if I don't let the word of God affect my memory, if I don't let the word of God affect my emotions, if I don't let the word of God affect my imagination, if I do not, that's why Romans 12 and 2 is so important. Because when you read the word of God, all those things are being affected. Your memory, your imagination, your emotions, all those things are being affected. Because ultimately your will is where you get the strength to choose. That's where your strength to choose comes from, is your will. Isaiah 1 and 19, it says, if ye be what? Willing and obedient. See, the obedient part is automatic if you're willing. Because willing, you just decided to do what God is telling you to do. You've decided that. How did that decision come about? The decision comes about because my mind is being renewed. So my emotions are in check. My imagination is in check. My memory is in check. My emotions are in check. So my will can get information from those to make a positive decision. Unless now when you start letting your will get information from somewhere else, an unrenewed mind from your flesh. See, here's the thing. Sin is in your flesh. Here's an example. And all of us have done this. I don't care how spiritual you are, all of us have done this. If you go a few days without reading the Bible, you go a few days without renewing, listen to me, you go a few days without renewing your mind, them thoughts gonna start going off. So now your mind ain't renewed, now your will got to make decisions getting information from all the aspects of your mind. So your will is gonna be skewed. Or better yet, screwed. So the will is the thing that brings everything together. Here's the thing about the will. The will, one thing about God, when God creates something, it takes a lot to break it. I'm gonna say that again. When God creates something, it takes a lot to break it. Other words, God created the earth, right? The Bible says that the God of this world, meaning the God of the earth, who is Satan, right? Satan has been God of this world for how long? And he hadn't destroyed it yet. My point for saying that is that your will wants to do the right thing. Your will always wants to do the right thing. But if it gets information from your emotions, if you get wrong information from your emotions, from your memory, from your imagination, if it gets that wrong information, it's going to make the wrong decision. That's why Paul said, I want to do right, but I can't find it. And when I do wrong, it's easy to do. Why? Because the will gets its information from all the aspects of the mind. And so we have to strengthen, we have to understand how the will works and understand that our will, if it's going to feed off of all the other aspects of our mind, off our emotions, off our memory, off our intellect, off our imagination, if it does that, then we got to make sure we have all those other aspects of our mind renewed by the word of God. If not, your will is going to be skewed. The one thing that the will is bound to the desires of the flesh. So that's why you have to use the word of God to change those desires. Desires are nothing more than what you want to do, what you're achieving to do. So now when you get born again, you become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now if I become a new creature, if I become a species that never existed before, that means my will now has to feed from my new recreated spirit, not just my flesh. The death of Jesus Christ provided the power for the will now to get instructions no longer from the flesh, but from our spirit. with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus now gives our will the power to choose again. This is God's, the ability to choose is the greatest gift that God has ever given man. This is what I love about the apostolic. What I love about the apostolic is that you have to be willing. When you say you're willing, that means you said you're choosing. The greatest problem with America, the United States, is we think we're living in freedom and we're not. Because they done away with slavery and the immigrants can come over, we think we're living in freedom. But true freedom, people can't handle true freedom. The reason why they can't handle true freedom is because when you have freedom, you have to be responsible for the decisions that you make. Most people don't want to be responsible for the decision they make. They make a decision, they won't blame somebody else. They make a decision to do this, it don't turn out like they want, now they won't blame somebody else. You decide to go into this field of work, it dry up, now you won't blame the government. I choose to do this and it don't work out like I want, now I need to blame this person. I tell people all the time. Young people, they get in relationships with certain people, don't like the way it's going, then they won't blame another person. No, you can't blame another person. You chose to be with them. You chose to stay there and take it. You chose. Are you seeing this? So most people, they don't really understand the freedom of speech. You can say what you want, but you have to be responsible for the repercussions. See, you can say what you want, like freedom of speech. People want to use the freedom of speech as this. I walk into World Life Christian Center and I start dogging Dr. Thompson out. I just start dogging him out, right? And when I get put out, I won't holler about freedom of speech. No, freedom of speech is, I did say what I wanted to say, but I wasn't prepared to accept the results from what I said. Are you getting this? So the greatest gift that God has given us is the ability to choose. That's why the apostolic is so wonderful, because when you decide to say, I'm yielding, this is who God has connected me to, this is the leadership I want, this is the government I want to participate in, the apostle and the apostolic atmosphere is, we're not forcing you to do anything. You chose to do this. So watch this. It makes the apostolic and the government of God even more powerful, because now when God goes a certain direction, you don't like the direction God going in, you can't get mad at nobody but yourself. You can't get upset with anybody else. You can't get, because you chose. And just like you chose to be, you can choose to leave. Is that making sense? So this is why the will is so important. This is why it's important that we keep our will in check, because once again, it's feeding off our intellect, our emotions, our memory, and our imagination. The devil would love to control your will. If he can control your will, he can control your decisions. Now, the thing about our will is Satan just can't control our will. He can't just come and get it. So what he does, he uses lies to influence our will. That's all he did with Adam and Eve. He used a lie to influence their will. Adam and Eve never thought about touching that tree. Never thought about touching the tree until when? That serpent came in and say, oh, you ain't gonna die. Look at the fruit, it's pleasing to the still sight. You ain't gonna die. You're gonna be just like God. That's a lie. You was already like God. So Adam and Eve's will was influenced by Satan to make a wrong decision. That's how Satan controls our will. Because remember now, your will is the strongest aspect of your mind. So if he can get, if he can influence your will, he can control your life. This is why the Bible talks so much about temptation. This is why Jesus, many people don't understand why Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The reason why Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights is so that he, as a human, could be at his weakest moment. So that when Satan come, it's just Satan against the will, his will, and God with him. He had, so therefore, all the temptations that Satan could bring, Jesus was vulnerable to. Satan tried him with food. Satan tried him with greed. He tried him with tempting God. And Jesus denied all of it. And when he denied all of it, Satan realized there's somebody here that will not submit to what I can do. That's what gave Jesus the right to die on the cross. That's what gave him right. Because remember now, blood had to be spilled. So now there's no better blood to be spilled than blood that's been tested. Blood that has just the will of God flowing through his veins to face Satan in the flesh and then die and give us access to that blood. That's why we have the power to make the right decisions. That's why Satan can't influence our will. That's why we control our destiny, because our will can be governed by the will of God. Our will only knows two basic words, yes and no. They don't have no gray areas. Either we're going to do this or we're not. Either we're going to agree to this or we're not. Either we're going to submit or we're not going to submit. Ain't no gray areas. These two words are the two most powerful words in the human language. Our will use the freedom of God, the freedom God gave them to use these words to determine the boundaries of both God and the devil in our lives. So yes and no, what we say no to, what we say yes to, always determines where our heart is. Two powerful words. The only thing, if you say no to God, God will not violate that. If you say no to the devil, God will not violate that. I'm going to say it again. If you say no to him, he won't violate it. If you say no to the devil, he won't violate it. I'm going to say it again until it sink in. If you say no to God, he won't violate it. If you say no to this devil, he won't violate it. Other words, God's love is never changing, whether we accept it or not. How do we know? Here's how we know. God sent his only, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins without ever knowing if we will accept Jesus or not. So, other words, God is going to be who he's going to be regardless of our decision. God is going to do what he got to do regardless of a decision. And Satan going to do the same. So ultimately, we control our destiny. Is that making sense? So if you say no to God, he won't violate it. He'll let you go and go to hell. He'll let you go. If you say no to Satan and accept Jesus Christ your Savior, he'll let you go to heaven. He ain't gonna change. He ain't gonna say, oh no. No, I don't let you in. He ain't gonna say that. So our destiny, see, we're powerful people. We're a powerful entity. And Satan knows that. So while Satan knows that, he knows the only way that he can affect our future is by accessing our will, our ability to choose. So now it comes, am I going to obey God or not? That's where sin comes in. If I disobey God, it gives Satan the right to walk into my life. If I disobey God and don't do what God is asking me to do, it gives Satan the right to walk into my life and do what he want to do. The words yes and no, again, are the most powerful words in the human language, no matter which language they're in. They're the most powerful words. God told Adam and Eve, you can have anything you want in the garden, just don't eat off this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan said they could, God said they couldn't. So it's either yes or no. Those two simple words changed the destiny of mankind. Yes and no. If Eve would have said no, things would have been different. Mankind sinned because it yielded to the control of the devil, his demonic influence. The strength of the enemy only comes from his influence. That's it. His suggestions. You ever had somebody that tried to influence you to do whatever? Whether it's to influence you to go somewhere or influence you to eat at a restaurant. Just use that. Somebody influence you to eat at a restaurant. They say, man, have you eaten at such and such place yet? Man, the food is good. You need to try this there. Try that there. The food is good. I'm going back again. And by the time they finish talking to you, you're almost slobbering at the mouth. You ready to go eat that now? What happened? You just been influenced. So your will is now making a decision, I need to go eat at this place. Well, that same process is what Satan uses to get us to sin. A lot of times we think it's just us, but you've been influenced one way or the other. Satan always influences sin, always. Anytime we sin, we've been influenced by Satan. Our will has been affected by Satan. Jesus broke the devil's influence over his own will and died for his influence on others. Jesus broke Satan's power over his will, then died because of the disobedience or his influence on others. See, Jesus had to go through the wilderness, had to fast those 40 days and 40 nights. He had to face Satan. And here's the crazy thing about, here's how dumb Satan is. Let me tell you how dumb he is. Now, I'm trying to explain how dumb he is. Here it is. You've gone thousands of years, hundreds of years, knowing that a Messiah is coming. Satan knows a Messiah is coming. He knows this already. He knows it. Why? Because they've been talking about it for centuries. They know a Messiah is coming. Jesus comes here, fasts 40 days and 40 nights at his weakest moment, and I come to influence him, and I can't change his mind, and I don't realize that's Jesus Christ. I don't realize there's something different about this man that I've never faced before. I'm too dumb to realize this. So how is it we let somebody that dumb influence us? Satan been going centuries influencing people. He run across one man he can't influence. Can't get him to change his mind. Can't get him to do anything other than what God is saying. I mean, to took him up on a pinnacle, showed him all the kingdoms, said, these are mine, I'll give them to you. If you bow down and worship, I'm not bowing down and worshiping. If you were God, you could make this, you could turn these stones into bread. If you the Son of God, then you can jump off this and legions of angels will come in and save you. He says, I ain't tempting the Lord thy God. He finally faced somebody he couldn't influence. And could not figure out this is Jesus the Christ. So once again, my question to you is, listen a minute, my question to you is, if Satan is that dumb, in which he is, we know it for a fact, how do you keep letting somebody that dumb influence you? When we have submitted our wills to God and we say no to the devil concerning our lives, it produces a line and law in the spirit that Satan cannot cross. When you say, no, I'm not doing what you said, devil, I'm going to obey God, there is a line that Satan cannot cross. He can bluff, but he can't cross it. See, this is why when we face challenges, when we face something that we're challenging, that's challenging us, we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't become overwhelmed. Maturity, I heard Apostle say this in his statement, rang with me. Maturity is not based on what you know. It's based on how you behave. Maturity is not based on what you know. It's based on how you behave. Your will determines how you behave. Your will feeds off your intellect, your emotions, your memory, and your imagination to gather a decision on what it's going to do or what the body is going to do. So maturity comes when I take the information that I've been given, that I receive, all the word that's being preached to me, I take that information and know how to apply it to my situation. I know how to behave. That's maturity. That's why the Bible says, submit yourselves to God, then do what? Resist the devil, and what's going to happen? He'll flee. That doesn't mean he's going to go away forever. He's just going to leave you alone because your mind made up. You remember when Jesus fasted 40 days and the Satan came to him? He said Jesus left him for a season. The Bible says the Satan left him for a season. Because that means Satan was coming back. Because the ultimate, if Satan does not have influence over you, he has no power. So that means that everything that Satan has been trying to make happen to me, could it be that it's actually me making the wrong decisions and making it happen to myself? Could that possibly be? So just as easy as I've made the decision because of his influence that caused things to happen to me, I can make decisions that cause me to have victory. Our will is strengthened when we effectively learn how to use the words yes and no. When we effectively learn how to use the words yes and no. And this means sometimes when you get a thought that doesn't agree with what God called you to be and what God called you to do, you have to sometimes out loud say, no, I'm not doing this. When you do that, or when God has given you something to do or has caused you to be influenced in a positive way and you get in fear, you have to sometimes speak out loud, yes, I hear you, Lord, I'm going to do this. Because yes and no are the two most powerful words in the English language, in mankind's language. Here's how we know when the will is ungodly. Number one, it is lazy. It has no zeal or passion. It's passive. It becomes passive to people and circumstances that are around it. It's indecisive. It can be controlled by circumstances and is double-minded. This is an ungodly will. It can be easily manipulated by other parts of the soul. It is not committed. It relies on other people's opinions continually. Are generally full of doubt. It is rebellious. It takes wrong information from the intelligence, imagination, memory, and especially emotion, and just take it to the extreme. You know, everybody knows so many people. They just flip out. Something don't go their way, they just flip out. They just go berserk, just start tripping, going off on everybody. Because they don't have control of their will. A godly will bring conviction. It will protect the other parts of the soul. An ungodly will influence the other parts of the soul to agree with it, whether the information is right or wrong. In order to break the devil's influence over our lives, we must be strongly aligned with the Word of God. That's where Romans 12 and 2 comes into play. Not just Romans 12 and 2, but Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be renewed, right? And it gets to renewing your mind with the word of God, so that you may be able to prove that which is good and acceptable will of God. When you do that, you break the devil's influence over your life. When you begin to read the Word of God, you begin to discover who you really are. When you discover who you really are, it really shows you how powerless Satan is. When you renew your mind with the Word of God, you're training your will to think like God created you to think. When you begin to think like God created you to think, Satan then realizes that you know your God without his influence. The Word of God, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible also says heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall stand forever, right? God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Saying, I'll use scripture to you for a reason. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. God will not violate your success. If you choose to be successful, God will not get in your way. I'm saying that for a reason. God, Ephesians 1 and 3, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in heaven-like places. Other words, God has, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has already decided on your victory. So if you choose, if you will to be successful, God won't get in your way. Just like if you choose to fail, God won't get in your way. Hope you listen at me, Internet. The will is very important. The will determines your future. The will, your will determines your destiny. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, gave us a great lesson on the will. Jesus praying. And he said, Jesus was praying and asking God, God, can you do this another way? Can you do this another way, God? If this cup can be passed, God, if you can do this another way, I really appreciate it. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Other words, Jesus was showing that we as humans have the supernatural strength to choose to do the will of God. And we can choose to align ourselves with God's will. And when we do, God won't get in the way of our victory. When Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When he was headed to the cross, God ain't had no choice but to let Jesus get out that grave. It's not so much God raising him up. God couldn't stop him from getting up. Because God had already said, I'm going to send my son. And he's going to die. And he's going to raise again in 3 days. So when Jesus determined. So in other words, with us, with our lives. This is it. With our lives. When we obey God, it is inevitable that success will come. If you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? This book of the law should not depart out of our mouth, but thou shalt meditate when? Day and night. If thou mayest observe to do that all that's written therein, then what? Thou make that way prosper. Then thou will have good success. So Satan's ultimate goal is to get control of our will. Because if he can get us to say no to God and yes to him, we're in trouble. But if we have the fortitude to say yes to God and no to Satan, victory and success is inevitable. It can't be stopped. The devil will do everything he can to get you to say no to God. He will do everything he can. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Satan will do everything he can to get you to say no to God. But God has done everything he's going to do to get you to not to say yes to Satan. Now it's up to you to choose what you want. By God sending his only son to die on the cross, he already made it possible for you to say no to Satan. But you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and what it says, thou shalt be saved. Once you become a new creature, a new creation in Christ, a species that never existed, you now have the supernatural power to say no to Satan and yes to God on every situation. There's no such thing as a sin you can't overcome. No such thing. Listen to me, there's no such thing as a sin you can't overcome. Even if you trip, you still must get up saying no. No to that sin. Even if you make a mistake, you must get up saying no. I ain't doing this no more. Even if you do it again, you say no. I'm not doing this no more. When you keep doing that and you keep relying on the blood of Jesus, there's going to come a time when Satan comes to influence you and he's going to realize he has no power over you. This is why it's so important for us to spend time with God and talk to God. Quote, in quotes, pray to God. Talk to him. That's all prayer is. Talk to him, because then he can reveal his will. When God reveals his will, then we can obey. In Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, the first thing Jesus did was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we prioritize the will of God, draw a line in the sand and say, Satan, we will not obey your influence. I want your kingdom to be established. I want to be a part of your establishment of this kingdom. Closing here. The sovereignty of God would never violate our free will. But the sovereignty of God, watch this, the sovereignty of God will back us up. I'm going to say it again. The sovereignty of God will never violate our will, our ability to choose or have free choice. But when we choose him, his sovereignty will always back us up. So when you choose God over Satan and whatever situation you're in, God's sovereignty, who he is, what he can do, and how he's going to do it is backing you up at all times. From Genesis to Revelations, you'll see that God could do nothing in the earth realm without a human intervention, without the will. His sovereignty may choose who do it, but his sovereignty can't make them do it. Case in point, Jonah. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't choose nobody else. He chose Jonah. Because Jonah disobeyed, Satan, the door for Satan was opened. But look at the grace and mercy of God that allowed Jonah to stay in the belly of a whale. Now, in the belly of a whale, you're supposed to go in the belly. In our bellies, we have digestive enzymes. They're supposed to start breaking food down. This man stayed in the belly for 3 days until he was influenced by the will of God. And when he determined, he said yes. He said, so essentially, Jonah was saying no to God for 3 days. And God had patience to wait on him. God is good. God is very good. Waited on him 3 days till he was influenced to say yes. And the well spit him up. I close with this. The more strongly people's wills are aligned with God's will, the more strongly God's will is released to actually occur. Other words, the stronger we feel about God's will and how he wants things done, it increases. In other words, when God what the Bible says, he's searching to and he's going about the earth to and fro, seeking. Others say he's just looking for somebody to him to walk his will through, to for him to act his will through. When you align yourself with God's will, everything that your heart desires, everything that God's heart desires begins to come to pass. I'll see y'all next week.